Well, that's my message. As I prayed over the message this morning, I thought we have baby dedication, we have all kinds of things going on, and the Lord said, why don't you keep it simple? And I thought, what is simple? With God, all things are possible, but it's not that simple, right? many times we are faced with situations that overwhelm us. And we declare, either to our marriage partner or to our family, I can't take it anymore. And guess what? Yes, we take it. We continue to take it. We just say, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. It's too hard. And then we have these cliches that some of us have learned. God will never give you more to bear than you can bear. Oh, yes, he does. That's a cliche. He will give us more that is too heavy for us. It's too hard for us. He does that sometimes. The story of missionary Elizabeth Seeler, who was in China many, many years ago, in one of her books, she writes about her experience about using the name of Jesus as protection when she would travel. She had to walk a lot from one village to another in China. And in those times, there were giant snakes in the area. And she knew about it, but she had never really been afraid of one, and this time she was alone. Usually she was with someone, but this time she had walked alone from one village to the other, and as she walked, here was this giant snake right in her path. And she stood still, and the snake came closer and closer. And then the snake started coiling up, and the head went higher and higher. And she thought, well, if I run, the snake can really just one strike, and I'm paralyzed. She felt like a paralyzed victim here. And she saw the snake opening its mouth and coming closer and closer, and like lightning, the words came up, in Jesus' name, back off. And you know, that name was so powerful, the snake, as if something had hit the snake, it just fell to the other side, and she could feel the ground shake for a moment. That's how big the snake was. And the snake just slithered away. She wanted to show that the name of Jesus is powerful. With God, all things are possible. Our text is a story of a young man who was confident in life. He had achieved, actually, at a very young age, a lot. Maybe he had inherited it, I don't know, but he was a rich young man. Usually you have people that worked all their lives and they accumulated riches, but this young man was one of the Gospels says that he was a young ruler. So he was rich and young. He had time, he had money, he had energy, good health, perfect life, right? He came to Jesus. And he said, you know, Jesus, I've heard you talk, and I notice that something is missing in my life. What is it? And Jesus says, well, just keep the commandments. Focus on living a good life according to the Old Testament. And the ruler says, I'm familiar with that. I know all the rules. I know all the commandments. I'm keeping them. I've always kept these laws. I'm a good person. But what do I still lack? See, that's a good question with many so-called good persons. What do I still lack, even though I am good? One thing he lacked was real salvation in the Lord. Real salvation, meeting our spiritual needs, can only come from God. We can never earn it. We can never buy our pardon. We cannot buy with money forgiveness of sin. We cannot go through ceremonial acts to be born again. To be born again, which Jesus talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, it's absolutely impossible for humans to do that or to get that. You cannot be born again by joining a church. You cannot be born again by becoming a member of a club or a member of a good group of people. You cannot be born again through baptism. Although baptism needs to follow being born again, but born again, being renewed in the inward person, is impossible without God. It's impossible to get to heaven without God. It's impossible to conquer sin and guilt without God. Now people say, well, I can get rid of my guilt. I can go to a shrink and just talk until the guilt is gone. And maybe some are successful, I don't know. But I think in the end, unless we repent, unless we confess our sins and that the Lord takes the guilt and the shame away, it's impossible. So God has made it that way. Because we cannot be saved unless the Lord saves us. We cannot be revived unless the Lord himself revives us and awakens us spiritually. And this is why Paul says that your eyes have been opened by the Lord, by the Spirit of God, that you can see spiritual things the way that God sees them. And it's the Holy Spirit, the work of God, that opens our hearts to the grace that he has. We cannot earn the grace. We cannot give it. We cannot save somebody else. I believe that if we could save other people, how many people would you save every day if you could save them? You'd go somewhere and you say, you're saved. You're saved. We'd go all over the world, right? We'd save the whole world. No, we can't. Only God can. Nothing is possible, spiritually speaking, unless it is with God. See, as children of God, we also cannot grow spiritually unless that growth comes through the Word and Spirit of God. I used to pray, Lord, and you know, some requests to God can be outright dangerous. You have to be careful what you ask for. You know the word, be careful what you ask for. Have you ever asked God that God would give you greater humility? Boy, oh boy. Lord, make me more humble. For some of us, it would be really healthy to pray that for a change, because then God will give us opportunity to really sometimes eat our own words and swallow our own pride and humble ourselves. He will give us plenty of opportunities for that. But I think that's rather shallow to think that we would pray, Lord, that your grace would be sufficient in every situation, that whatever I encounter in life, that your grace would be there so I can grow spiritually from my experiences in life. In John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, and this is so powerful. Listen carefully what Jesus says here. I am the true vine. Singular, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So if you are bearing fruit, it's very possible that there are times in your and my life where he prunes us, and this pruning can hurt sometimes, can bring us into times of confusion, times of delusion, times of where we don't know, well, is God really what he said he was? You know, I've been baptized, I've been following him, but now I have these questions, now I'm facing these challenges. What about this challenge? Lord, I've never been here before. And yet he prunes us that we should bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, meaning stay with it. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, because without me you can do nothing, Jesus says. He compares us with the vine. And unless we stay on the vine, nothing is possible for us. But then with him, with God, and those who believe and stay in the vine, he says, all things are possible and you can bear much fruit. How glorious, how wonderful. Worship and prayer can only really be done with God. In Matthew 7, Jesus related to his listeners this thought that in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, what day? What day? The day of judgment, when we're all called to give account to the Lord. Many of people will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This always makes me stop in my tracks. That many, Jesus says, will be saying on that day, didn't we do this and this and this and this in your name? Didn't we do marvelous works in your name? I thought you would be pleased. And Jesus says, I never knew you. In other words, you didn't have a personal relationship with me. It's all for nothing, because if God isn't in it, it's impossible. Matthew 15, verse 1. The scribes, the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus. Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he needs not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made a commandment of God of no effect, your tradition, with your traditions. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, Jesus says here, don't try to fool God. You can't fool God. You can't pretend to worship God if your heart isn't in it. You can't just confess something with your lips if your heart is not totally in it. So true worship cannot happen without God. So it's impossible to worship God in spirit and in truth unless we are connected to God through Jesus Christ as our Savior. But with God, our physical needs can also be met. And the Father has promised us that he will help us in our times of worry and anxiety. And this is one thing that we need to take comfort in. Jesus says, behold the lilies. Behold the sparrows. The lilies of the field, they blossom and they look so beautiful. They're better adorned than Solomon and all his riches. Look at the birds of the sky. I have a bird house. It's right at the entrance of our house. And when I come out of the house, the bird flies out. So when I sneak up, when I come into the house, the bird doesn't know that I'm there. So I knock on the door and the bird flies out. I train the bird to respect me. When I go by, you need to be on the branch and you need to greet me here, you know. But the birds don't worry about the next year. The birds doesn't worry. Well, I could easily take this nest away, but I'm not going to do that. Anyway, the birds don't worry about tomorrow. The lilies don't worry. And so Jesus says, why do you worry about your life? Well, there's plenty to worry about. And oftentimes, we come into an argument with God and say, Lord, well, we know that you're there in the glory. Nothing and nobody can touch you there, but everything and everybody can touch me here. I can lose my finances, I can lose everything, I can lose my health, and it could all happen overnight or gradually. But then the Lord wants to speak to our hearts and say, can you then still say, praise the Lord and give him all the glory? Because that's what he wants us to do. It's difficult sometimes, but God can do everything. The problem of illness. Sometimes it hits hard. Sometimes it comes unexpected. Trust God. With God, all is possible. We believe in divine healing. We believe that God can heal a person instantly, that he can heal a person gradually. We believe also that God can use the medical field to help a person feel better and be better by all means. God is not against medical treatments, as some will say. And we trust God that when nothing else works, we place ourselves in the Lord's hands and say, Lord, I am yours for this life or eternity. If you take me, then I will say with Paul, if I live, I live with Christ. If I die, it is gain. We can overcome our difficulties and our fears and even financial challenges by trusting the Lord. With God, we learn the how-to. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am. And this is very important. This did not come so easy for Paul either. He says, I have learned that whatever state I am, to be content. We heard yesterday in the men's prayer breakfast meeting about godliness and contentment, how important that is, and they two come together. I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. I know how to be abased, meaning how to have nothing or how to have want. I know how to abound when I have plenty. Everywhere and in all things I have learned. Again, the word I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do a few things with Christ, right? No, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I hope we get encouraged this morning, that Holy Spirit would minister encouragement to you and me, that we can say, even though the difficulties are there, the problems are there, that we can say, I can do this with Christ because he strengthens me. And that we're willing to learn, like Paul says, Jesus said here to this young man, or actually to his disciples, because they thought, oh, wow, if the rich cannot enter the kingdom of God, if they have such a hard time, who can then be saved? I mean, they saw a very hopeless situation here. And Jesus simply says, by men, by humans, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let's meditate on that and thank God for it. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you spoke these words. I'm very glad that I didn't make up these words, that these came directly from you. And Lord, I pray today that you would strengthen all of our faith here this morning, that we would firmly believe and stand on these solid promises that with you all things are possible. Help our unbelief. Cleanse us from any and all doubting. And give us relief if there's any anxiety and anxiousness and worry. Lord, and help those that are physically ill that trust you. Their future may look bleak, but Lord, with you all things are possible to overcome. We know that one day when we lay down our lives here on this earth, we have a wonderful life ahead of us in all glory. And we don't want to miss that. Lord, teach us to live before you in this state of faith and trust in you, that we can overcome and we can bear fruit because you strengthen us. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.